James says in chapter 2, 14 through 17, he says, what does the profit, my brethren? Though a man say he has faith and have works, I revert this. But he goes down, he says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful for the body, what does it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, be alone. All right? Works are what we do. Works are what we do, right? They are defined by James in this case as feeding and clothing people who are in need. If you have genuine faith, you won't just believe these people are in need, and you won't just trust that someone else will help them. You will help them. Okay? You will do the work. You will get out and work. Now, this is what James says in chapter 1. So James is a good book to go against his gospel. That's why he wanted to cut it out of the Bible. James 1, 21 through 25. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Okay? Lay apart, that means lay it aside, get out of it, put it away from yourself, stop doing it. That's something you do, you're responsible to. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Which is very interesting, because I thought your soul was already saved. But anyway, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Okay, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. In his deed, okay? I think it's very interesting that almost 2,000 years ago, James writes something that comes against, directly against this whole, by faith alone, through grace alone, doctrine that we're facing today. He said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. He said, if your faith isn't producing works of obedience, works of actual righteousness, righteous living, then you're deceived. He said, if you think you're justified by belief alone, or by trust alone, as it may be, you're deceived. And I can tell you by the authority of God's word, multitudes are in that deception tonight, this very minute. Now, I'm sure someone who hears me talking against the Reformation like this and Reformation leaders will say, oh, this guy's really a secret Roman Catholic, all right? No, I've never been a Roman Catholic. Nobody in my family is a Roman Catholic, all right? I am not a Roman Catholic. Catholicism teaches that you must earn justification by works. And the works they're talking about are Romish sacraments. I have never said or hinted that we must obey God to earn forgiveness or deserve justification. All I've ever said is that works must accompany true faith. Okay? If they don't, your faith is false and dead. I'm saying precisely what James said. You see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. The Reformers, people, were wrong. The Reformers were wrong. They went too far with grace, just as the Catholics went too far with works, and the wrong kind of works on top of that. No, we're not Catholics, but neither are we Protestants. I'm not a Protestant, and I won't be labeled a Protestant, okay? We're part of a stream of brethren who are outside the system ever since the apostolic days, okay? We're part of a stream of brethren who were never part of Rome, and they didn't need the Reformation, and they weren't part of the Reformation. So if you think I'm preaching heresy, if you want to call me a legalist or a Catholic or a cult leader and drag me to the stake and burn me, that's fine. But you have to burn the book of James along with me, because he said, if you don't have works, your faith is dead, and your justification, your belief, is worthless. Okay? He said, we're not justified by faith alone. We're not justified by faith alone, by belief alone. Now, I'm going to tell you why this is so confusing. The reason it's such a muddled mess in our minds, and the average Joe sitting in the pew is so confused over this stuff, is because many of the people, many of the ministers who preach Calvin's gospel, they still encourage righteous living, and they still encourage obedience to God. But even though they may encourage these things, they can't demand them. They can't require them because of the view of justification. All right? You go ask any pastor, any minister of any denomination anywhere on this planet, how you're justified. And every one of them, except unless they're Catholic, I'm talking about Protestant now, every one of them will tell you the same exact thing. We're justified by what we believe, not by what we do. Okay? Well, if we're justified by what we believe and not by anything we do, that, you know what that means, don't you? That means the only thing that's required in order to be justified is that we believe. All right? Works may be encouraged, but they cannot be required. If they are required, you have just trashed your whole doctrine of justification by belief alone. All right? And we're talking about justification, we're talking about salvation, okay? Salvation and justification are the same. When people say you can't be saved by works, you're talking about justification. You can't be justified by works. Right? Now the problem all these ministers have, all these evangelical, Protestant, Reformation people have, and those who are under the influence of Reformation people and don't know it, is this. They have to encourage God's people to produce works. But the very foundation of their belief system doesn't require works. It only requires belief. And I'll say that again. You've got to get this understanding in your mind here. These ministers, they have to encourage God's people to produce works. They know that. But the very foundation of the belief system, the evangelical Protestant belief system, doesn't require works. It only requires belief. So on the one hand, they know they have to encourage people to have works, the kind of works that accompany true faith, right? But on the other hand, their doctrine of justification, which requires no works, annuls the necessity of works. Just wipes it right out. Okay, so they're in a quagmire. They're in a confused mess. They're in a contradiction. Okay, and the only way they can deal with this contradiction is to tell people they should have works. They should have works, all right? As long as you only tell people they should have works, everything is going to be fine. They can muddle along, and if they're dedicated to the Lord, they'll produce some kind of works, and they'll be saved, they'll be in the kingdom, all right? But if you ever tell them the truth, which is that they must have works, not they should have works, they must have works, or their justification will be worthless, you're going to fry their brains. You're going to fry their brains because all their Christian lives they've been programmed to think the justification is based solely on what they believe, not on anything they do. Now, you turn around and tell them if they don't have works, they're going to be lost. Their justification ain't worth anything. You're going to confuse them terribly. It's just the opposite of what you've told them their whole lives. Right? So it's just there's this confusing mess that these ministers have to walk through. This line they got to walk this line all the time. Right? And as long as the debate is kept in the realm of what we should do, what we're encouraged to do, the contradictions that are inherent in Calvin's gospel won't cause a big problem, okay? And one of the reasons people don't like me, now there's many reasons, I'm sure, but one of the reasons people don't like me is because I'm always moving the issue out of their comfort zone and asking what we must do. What we must do is obeying God, that is having works mandatory. Is obeying God, which is having works mandatory. Do we have to obey God in order to be justified? All right? And when I say yes, people go bananas. They go bananas and they start screaming legalism, Catholicism, religious cult, heretic, and all that. All right? I mean, I'm telling you, people, it's a theological three-ring circus out there. Believe me. Most of today's preachers and scholars will agree. You sit them down and they will agree that obedience and righteous living can and does provide assurance that a person is saved. They will tell you that they will agree. Obedience to God and righteous living, a change of character, works, okay, that can and does provide assurance that you're a Christian, you're saved. But very few of them can concede that the lack of those things, is proof that you're not saved. See? Because in their view, you don't have to have these things in order to be justified, which means you don't have to have these things in order to be saved. The doctrine is, we're justified, that means we're saved, by belief alone. Okay? Yes, you should have works. Of course you should have works. You should live like a Christian if you're a Christian, but you have to have that. Well, now if you say I have to have that, that means I'm going to have to earn my justification, see? I'm not saved by belief alone. I'm also saved by boogaloo, works, the boogeyman word, works, all right? Are you getting the picture yet? Has anybody started to get the picture yet? When someone has the audacity to suggest that believing or trusting isn't enough to save us or keep us saved, there has to be works, there has to be proof, there has to be validation, and those validation comes by what you do, not by what you believe, okay? Most of today's Protestant Christians will immediately write you off as a heretic when you tell them there has to be evidence that their faith is real, and that evidence is what you're doing, not what you're believing. They go into orbit. They just go into orbit and start accusing you of adding works to grace, or trying to be saved by grace, of works, and trying to establish your own righteousness and all the rest of it. Right? And here's what they say. Here's the common line. They say, hey, the response is, I'm justified by faith, not by anything I do or fail to do. You got it? I'm justified by faith, by what I believe. Not by anything I do or what I fail to do. Now, if I had to do something to be saved, or if I had to do something to remain saved, that's the same thing as earning justification. It's the same thing as earning salvation. I mean, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it's very true. And like I said before, we can make the Bible say anything we want to say as long as we don't have to make those doctrines and those theories fit the whole counsel of Scripture. Now, this idea that justification is by belief alone, and therefore works are not necessary, it won't stand the whole counsel of Scripture, okay? Because we're told in the Scripture to judge whether or not we are a genuine believer by examining what we do, not by examining what we believe, okay? For instance, in 2 Corinthians, the Corinthians were acting like pagans, okay, some of them. And in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 12, 20, and 13, I'm going to jump through a chapter here. Forget the chapter division. The end of 12 and the beginning of 13. I'm going to be reading from the NIV, 2 Corinthians 12, 20 through 13, 5. Okay? Paul says this about his trip to Corinth. He says, "For I am afraid that when I come, I may not find you as I want you to be, and you may not find me as you want me to be. I fear there may be quarreling, jealousy, an outburst of anger, factions, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorder. I am afraid that when I come again, my God will humble me before you, and I will be grieved over many who have sinned earlier, and have not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged." And he says, "This will be my third visit to you. Every matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time, and now I repeat it while absent. On my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or of any others. Since you are demanding proof that Christ is speaking through me, he is not weak in dealing with you, but is powerful among you. For to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we will live with him and serve you. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith, whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail a test?" All right? Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Paul told the Corinthians to examine themselves and make sure they're believers. Why? Because many of them were practicing sin with no sign of repentance. No sign whatsoever of repentance. He said when he arrived at Corinth, he would be grieved over the many who had sinned and had not repented of the impurity, sexual sin, and debauchery in which they have indulged, right? He said when he got there, he wasn't going to spare those who had sinned or the ones who are now sinning. Then he said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. And the reason Paul told them to examine themselves is precisely because they were not living and acting like regenerated people. They were living and acting like the unsaved Corinthians around them. They were living and acting like pagans. All right? They were practicing sin and having no remorse for that sin, no repentance for that sin. And that's a bad sign, brother. That's a sign you could be a, quote, professing Christian. Paul wasn't telling them to make sure they still believed in Jesus. They still believed in Jesus. He wasn't telling them to make sure they still believed the gospel. They still believed the gospel. He was telling them to check the fruit. Check the fruit. He was telling them to see if their faith was producing the kind of works a living faith produces. He was telling them to examine themselves to see if they were actually in the faith. And they would do that by looking very carefully at what they were doing and how they were living. But this is unacceptable to today's evangelical doctrine of justification by faith, because according to that doctrine, there doesn't have to be any fruit. You see, we're not justified by fruit. We're justified by belief. And the bottom line is, their view of justification demands that the only yardstick you can use to judge whether or not a person is a Christian is belief, you see, because belief's the only requirement for justification. If that's the only requirement for justification, that's the only yardstick you can use to judge. All right? Now, there are people that require fruit as evidence, but they're contradicting their own theology. They're doing that in contradiction to their own theology. This is the kind of confusion that results from ignoring the words of Brother James. You know, God inspired that man to write what he did for a reason, people. What he said about being justified by works as well as faith was meant to keep people from doing what they've done, which is remove the need for works from the process of justification. And when you remove works and you say justification is by belief alone, you have not only perverted one of the first principles of Christ, you have made it impossible, absolutely impossible, to judge who is and who is not a believer. All right? What James wrote is the only proper way, it's the only proper balance to view justification. Now, one of the many bad fruits this kind of error has produced is, of course, false security. I mean, if the only thing that's required to be saved, that is required to be justified, is that we believe, then not only do repentance and obedience become optional, sin becomes a non-issue, you see. As long as you keep believing, they say, the imputed righteousness of Christ automatically takes care of your sin. This whole idea grates against the conscience of the and the spirit of the sincere believer who's concerned about righteousness and holiness, because he understands it goes directly against the teaching of the entire New Testament regarding sin. But when he begins to question it, when he has the audacity to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, what about this? He's silenced very quickly by those in authority who immediately start accusing him of trying to be saved by his own works. This is what they say. This is how they shut you up every time. Right? You're justified by what you believe, not by anything you do or fail to do. If you think you can affect your right standing with God by anything you do, then you're basing your justification on works and not on faith. Now, that's a pretty persuasive argument for most believers. They have no answer for it, and they certainly don't want to be guilty of trying to, quote, earn salvation. I mean, who would? So they sit down and they shut up. And after a while, their conscience doesn't bother them anymore. And after a while, their spirit isn't agitated anymore. And after a while, they're at peace. But they're also deceived because they've chosen to listen to a man rather than their own conscience and the Spirit of God inside them. Right? It's dangerous, dangerous to follow religious leaders and teachers in these days because many of them are walking in religious confusion, and that confusion makes them dangerous people because they preach truth and error in the same breath. They preach truth and error in the same breath. All right? They'll give lip service to the fact that we must have works if you're a Christian, but then we'll turn around and say, hey, we're justified by what we believe, not by anything we do. A few of them may even give lip service to the fact that a Christian can be lost, but then they'll turn around and say, hey, if you think anything you do can affect your right standing with God, you're basing your justification on works and not faith. Well, I'm going to tell you, friends, that's double talk. That is double talk. It's deception. It's religious confusion. And the vast majority of today's religious leaders are caught up in it. Now, one Bible teacher who you all are familiar with, who propagates this error, did a study recently on which he tried to explain why justification is by belief alone. And he started his study out by asking the following questions. On what basis do you measure your righteousness? How do you measure your right standing with God? On what basis do you think you are righteous? Okay. And in order to say how everyone in the world is trying to attain a right standing with God through good deeds or by obeying some kind of law. And at first it sounds like he's asking, you know, how we think we're saved or justified initially, how we initially got saved. I mean, if someone asked you how you think you were, quote, made right with God, how you were made right with God, you would probably assume he was talking about how you got saved, how you got justified, right? But as just to the message, that's not really what he's talking about. He's combining our position as a sinner before we're justified and our position as God's child after we've been justified. And when he asks how we measure our right standing with God, he's not just asking how we were initially forgiven, how we were initially justified and saved. He's also talking about our current standing with God. So the question he's really asking is, as a Christian, do you think your current standing with God is based on what you do in some form or fashion? Or is it based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and nothing else? I put the question to you again so you can think about it. As a Christian, do you think your current standing with God is based on what you do in some form or fashion? Or is it based on faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone and nothing else? And the point of that whole message was belief alone is the basis for justification. And if we base our justification on anything we do or don't do, we are in deception. Right? Now, during his presentation, he made some very interesting statements. I'm just going to give you a few of them. Well, the first one goes like this, quote, he said, the righteousness that God seeks is based on one thing, and that is faith in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus' sacrifice cleanses you and gives you a right standing with God. Anything else you want to base your righteousness on or your standing with God on is deception and is false. Anything. And he goes on and says, see, we have to check ourselves. Paul said, examine yourselves, make sure you're in faith. Make sure you're not relying on anything else other than believing Jesus' sacrifice cleanses you and gives you the right stand with God. All right? Make sure you're not basing your righteousness on anything else but the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Do you see this? Do you see the deception in this? In this idea of how our flesh is always trying to pull us away from simply believing. Okay? Our flesh is always trying to pull us away from simply believing. That's the Reformation doctrine. Okay? Now, this statement here in particular, it demonstrates how warped his mind is, his view is, because he's imposing a totally foreign meaning on what Paul said to the Corinthians about examining themselves. We just went through that scripture and why Paul told them to examine themselves. Now, he's trying to say Paul was telling them to examine themselves to be sure they weren't trusting anything other than belief for justification. And that's pure nonsense. All right? If that's not twisting the scripture, I don't know what is. Paul was telling the Corinthians to examine themselves because they were behaving like unregenerate pagans. All right? They were behaving like pagans. And how are they to examine themselves? What were they supposed to look at? What were they supposed to be judging? Well, they're supposed to be judging the fruit that they're producing. They're supposed to examine their works. They were examining what they're doing, their deeds, okay? The question wasn't whether they were basing their justification on belief or on works. They were still basing their justification on belief. I guarantee it. That was part of the problem. That was part of the problem. They were acting in a perfectly consistent and logical manner with regards to the doctrine of justification by faith alone through grace alone. All right? If belief is the only requirement for justification, then what we do doesn't really matter. We should behave right. Okay, no problem. But if you don't, it doesn't matter. If you're justified by what you believe alone, then it doesn't matter how you live. And they probably figured, hey, as long as we believe in Jesus and his sacrifice cleanses us from sin, gives us right standing before God, it doesn't matter what we're doing. So they involved themselves in wickedness. Right? The question was not whether they were basing their justification on faith or on works. The question was whether their belief was a living faith or a dead faith. The question was whether their belief was a living faith or a dead faith. Okay? Because their works weren't showing up. There was no works there. It was bad fruit. The question was whether their belief was producing works. And that question can only be determined by examining your deeds. Can't be determined by examining what you believe. All right, here's another interesting quote from this guy, this little study. He says, quote, if you're counting on anything other than the righteousness of Christ in your life, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how you feel, it doesn't matter. You are still in right standing with God if you will believe by faith that Christ's blood cleanses you from all your sins. Okay? He says, no matter what you've done, your justification is secure as long as you will believe it is. Okay? As long as you believe by faith that Christ's blood cleanses you from all sins. And notice, he didn't say anything about the need for repentance in order to have your sins cleansed. Just keep believing. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. Just keep believing. No matter what happens, just keep believing. Just like a train. Just keep boring on down that track. Believing, 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 believing. Okay? And it'll all be okay in the end, no matter what happens. All right? That alone should make a red flag on people's spirit, but apparently it doesn't. And I would imagine the phrase, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've done, would include sin, wouldn't you? I mean, so he's saying, no matter what kind of sin you've been committing, and maybe even not repenting of, if you'll just continue to believe that the blood of Jesus automatically cleanses you from that sin, your right standing with God won't be affected. Well, if you think that's a gospel of Jesus Christ, I feel sorry for you. Because you're in deception. And you're in for a rude awakening on Judgment Day. Now, one more quote. He says, quote, every attempt to reach God outside of faith in Christ Jesus is based on some type of self-justification. This is why God chose faith. This is why God chose that we must be justified by faith alone through Christ alone. Because if there's anything added to that, it's works. Our flesh will glory in it. Our flesh will take credit and think that God owes us something because it's of works. It means wages. If it's not of works, then it's a gift. And there's nothing you can do to earn it. And there's nothing you can do to deserve it. And frankly, there's nothing you can do to keep it going except continue to believe that God is working in your life and in your heart. Now, can you imagine telling that? Just continue to believe that God's working in your heart and life to those Corinthians who are living in debauchery. That would have really saved them, wouldn't it? That would have really brought them around to Christ, wouldn't it? Okay? Notice the Reformation mantra there, by faith alone, through Christ alone. Okay? And regarding justification, he says there is nothing we can do to earn it. There is nothing we can do to deserve it, which I agree with, those two points. And there's nothing we can do to keep it going. That I don't agree with.